Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet. We appreciate their support, and we will be down for the exclamation point on the championship meet in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to returning to Gulfstream after a couple of pandemic years away. Should be fun, and also to get out of this weather and into some warm weather. And we'll talk Gulfstream in just a minute. A little bit later on, we are also going to talk some Laurel, because they have a great stakes day down there today. So Naomi Tucker will join us a little bit later in the show to go over some of their stakes. But to go over the stakes at Gulfstream Park today, we are joined now by Acacia Courtney Clement. And with the Clement on the name, a couple of weeks ago, I want to take this opportunity, Acacia, to congratulate you and Miguel on the wedding. Looking at Thank social you. Media, it looked like a fine event. And also, a brief honeymoon in the Caribbean someplace?
We are so happy. Thank you so much. It's so exciting. It was so wonderful. We are so grateful to our family and friends, and celebrating was wonderful. And then, yes, we did a honeymoon in Anguilla off of St. Martin. So now being married to an assistant trainer, anybody who knows anything about training horses knows how incredible it is to get him away for 5 days. So I'm really grateful for that. I don't know if we'll have the opportunity to do that again, but we had a wonderful time, and it was so great to kind of put the exclamation point on a magical wedding.
Yeah, again, very happy for you guys, and congratulations again. Let's talk a little bit about Gulfstream in general before we get to the stakes this afternoon. And the one thing I wanted to touch on, because it's always fun, championship meet when the big guns, the trainers and the jockeys come to town to kind of keep track of, you know, who's going well and maybe plug that into your handicapping. And just have to mention this week, had a little bit of a delayed start because he spent some time up in New York before he decided, you know what, the weather's a little bit better down in Florida. But Jose Ortiz has been red hot this week.
Yeah, coming into yesterday, he had 7 wins. I mean, just absolutely terrific. And he's really been doing so well and riding in top form. And I think everybody noticed right away that him coming down to Florida clearly was the right move. I completely understand and have spoken to him several times before the start of the meet about his decision to stay in New York a little bit longer. Given the jockeys that are riding here in Florida this winter, I think it makes a lot of sense. And he's certainly been making the most of it since he has come down. And I think trainers are really anxious to get him on their horses, and when you have a jockey that's doing so well, right, like he is, you see them start to move the board, and I've noticed that with Jose the last couple days. You always see it with his brother, Irad Ortiz, but I've noticed it with Jose the last couple days, given how well he's been going.
Yeah, it's incredible that the brothers do, and certainly doing it again down at Gulfstream. And I will just, because I pulled up the Equibase stats last night, the top five, Luis Saez, Tyler Gaffleon, Paco Lopez, Irad Ortiz, and Jose Ortiz, and they're neck and neck right there, but kind of the usual suspects in the lead. But Jose, with, as I say, a little bit of a delayed start, going very well, and particularly this week. Also, just before we get to today, I wanted to go back, and we're going to watch the stretch run to the Hurricane Birdie last week, and I wanted to show that because, boy, obligatory. I was in here doing the handicapping show. Obligatory, as you see here, is going to be the number 3 horse. And when she kind of gets set down in the lane, man, she pins her ears back and really makes a nice late run. And so it was really a nice part of the season, the kickoff to the season for Obligatory, but also the Mott Barn, which has just been going really well over the past month and a half or so in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like it was a good day across the country for Beaumont that day as well. But I think Obligatory really kind of stamped herself as a major contender this year. She's a filly I've always been a fan of. She's run well going long before, second in a grade 1 behind Clarier last year. But I've always preferred her going shorter. I think she's really a 7-furlong, 1-turn mile type. So cutting back to the 6.5 and the Hurricane Birdie, I was excited to see her. I thought she could potentially be vulnerable. Ian Wilkes had a nice horse in there. I was dead wrong about that. There was no beating obligatory. And it had started raining pretty hard right before the race. It had lightened up for the actual race, but there was quite a bit of rain probably about 10 minutes before the race went off, and nothing seemed to faze her.
Yeah, as they say, once she got set down in the lane, she looked fabulous. So she'll be fun to watch this year. All right, let's get some thoughts on this afternoon stakes, three nice stakes at Gulfstream today, and we'll kind of go in chronological order. The sixth race this afternoon is the Any Limit. One Identity in here for Eddie Plisa, undefeated. The aforementioned Jose Ortiz is on board. Strategic Bird for Mark Cassie, I think, is interesting coming out of the two stakes over at Tampa. But I pulled up a replay, maiden special weight event back on February 18th. We're going to look at number six, Spirit Wind, for Ralph Nix. This was a spectacular win. Pretty good 85 buyer as well. You know, it's a field of six, but as I say, those three are all interesting, and maybe you could point to Leviosa as well as being a possible contender. What were your thoughts on the Any Limits?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's maybe a shorter field, but it's the right field, the right fillies at this time of year, and really exciting. I thought Spirit Wind was super impressive last time. Took to Tyler Gaglione yesterday, who rode her last time out for her maiden score, and he said Ralph was stepping her up from 50 to a state bred maiden special weight, and he knew that there was intent behind that. Meanwhile, Ralph Nix has kind of flown underneath the radar, and he's batting about 30% this meet at Gulfstream. So he's had a terrific meet. The horses have been running. They've been in the right spot. And I know it's another big jump up for this filly, but she's from a strong family. She's a half-sister to Sing Praises, a good Jack the Better family on the bottom side. So I like her quite a bit. I ended up going with Spirit Wind over One Identity and Strategic Bird, who I agree with you are intriguing, but Spirit Wind was just so good last time.
Yeah, it was spectacular. I mean, chart margin over 15 lengths. That was a big win. Seemed to benefit from the first out experience. All right, let's move on to the Silks Run. Four-year-olds and up sprinting 5 furlongs on the grass. Oh, I should have asked you, what are you looking at for weather today down there?
It's gorgeous, sunny, mid-80s. It feels like summertime down here, so yeah. You can't complain about that. Yeah, but we'll be sending you some sunshine up north, Beth.
Yeah, you're killing me here. But as I say, we're headed down in a couple of weeks, so hold that weather for us. But in the Silks Run, 5 furlongs on the grass, this is a nice group. Cool Quest comes in off a triple-digit buyer. Arrest Me Red hasn't been seen since the end of last year in New York for Wesley Ward, but is working on a three-race win streak. Yes, I Am Free also coming in off a triple-digit buyer, as is the replay I'm going to pull up. We're going to look at the Turf Dash over at Tampa, middle of February. It's going to be Chessmaster getting it done in this replay. Chessmaster will be the number two horse. I thought this was quite impressive over there. I'm kind of tilting in that direction, but the other ones I mentioned are interesting, and maybe a couple others as well. What are your thoughts on the Silks Run?
I do think Arrest Me Red is the horse to beat. I know he has a layoff to contend with, but I saw quite a bit of speed in here, and I was really excited to see that Cool Quest, you mentioned for Brian Lynch, was switching back to the turf. He has a ton of turf pedigree, and he's only run once on the grass, and it was actually a sneaky good race. But speaking to Julian LaPerrue, his regular rider, he said his biggest weapon is his speed. We're not going to take that away from him. You're going to break sharply and go, and he's drawn down to the inside. I feel like there's plenty of other speed to his outside, too. Arrest Me Red, at least at the start of his career when he was with Arnaud Delacour, used to be one who would kind of stalk and come from off of that, and he even did that his first start with Wesley. So I think we're going to see Irad Ortiz with a few more options than maybe some of the others in there, because though this horse is fast, I don't think he's a need-the-lead type.
Yeah, and Cool Quest comes out of a nice little bullet workout on the turf over at Palm Meadows, too. Yeah, nice field, fun field in the Silks Run. Stakes action winds up with the Hutchison, the three-year-olds sprinting. It, to me, you're going through two horses here. Provocateur is maybe a little bit interesting for Todd Pletcher coming out of a second-place finish in the stake over at Tampa back in the middle of January. But I think everybody is just really excited and interested to see what Nitrous Channel can do in the second career start for George Weaver, Randy Hill, Reeves and company. The career debut, and we're going to take a look at that replay here. Career debut was spectacular. Nitrous Channel is going to be the number six horse. Chart margin winds up being just over two lengths, but a solid 94 buyer. And again, this was the first start of the career. This was quite impressive. Do you get through Nitrous Channel in the Hutchison?
For me, it was all about him. I thought he was so impressive in that maiden score. The third place finisher, Uniki, came back to win pretty nicely for Terry Pompey in his next start, too. So I think that that flattered him and flattered the quality of the race and what he beat. And it was funny because I remember hearing from the owners earlier this year saying, you know, we have a really nice three-year-old, or at that point it was a two-year-old turning three, and saying, we don't want to run him in one of the maiden optional claiming races. For those not familiar, at Gulfstream, you can run in a maiden optional claiming. It's maiden special weight level. If you're a Florida bred, you don't run for the claiming tag. If you're bred in any other state, you're in for $50,000. And they just didn't want to take the risk with this horse, even though that's a high-level claiming price, because they felt so strongly about him. And he delivered, and I feel like he's going to deliver again today.
Yeah, that was a really, really nice effort. Just looking forward to see what he can do this afternoon. Acacia, we appreciate the visit, the thoughts on the stakes action this afternoon. We will certainly be tuned in, looking at you and Brian and Ron pregame and paddock commentary and whatnot. And we'll talk again. In fact, we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it, Seth, and hopefully you get some nice warm weather when you come down here.
Yeah, I am knocking wood and crossing fingers. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Seth. Take care.
Acacia Clement from Gulfstream. Again, three nice stakes on their card today down at Gulfstream Park. As I say, a little bit later on, just beyond the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Naomi Tucker, because they have a really, really nice stakes card down at Laurel as well. So we'll go over that, but we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll do a little news and notes. But also, I pulled up, and I mentioned earlier, I haven't mentioned on this show, I mentioned earlier on the Handicapper Support, there's a mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six out in Southern California, Santa Anita today. And if you go to the Santa Anita website, they have free PPs there. So I looked, I didn't come up with a ticket or anything, but maybe we'll kind of give you some ideas, some horses to think about in that sequence out at Santa Anita today. Because, again, they're thinking maybe $4 million in the pool in the mandatory pay out in Southern California. So we'll take a break, some news and notes, and be back right after this, also with maybe a little bit of handicapping, and a little bit later on, closer look at the Laurel Stakes. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
The best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat screen TVs, tournament style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Don't forget, Mega March Madness. again today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Two really fun days of NCAA basketball. Hoops and horses, my two favorite sports, college basketball and horse racing. I'm a little bit more enamored with college basketball when Syracuse plays a little bit better. It didn't quite work out this season, but the tournament's just been great. And you can come down here this afternoon and watch all the basketball action, all the racing action here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. We'd love to see you down here. I mentioned with Acacia, I had pulled up the stats from Gulfstream. I'll just update you on those a little more because, again, you get into the meet like this, and it's fun to kind of see one of these big meets, the championship meet, you know, who's going to wind up on top. And I mentioned on the jockey side, and I should define a little more, Jose Ortiz and Irod Ortiz. Jose Ortiz got the late start because he was planning to spend the winter up in New York. And then I think weather, and I think also, you know, weather cancellations, and you just get more riding opportunity in much nicer weather. And so he's gone down there, and it turned out to clearly be the right decision. His brother was down there from the beginning of the meet. They're only one apart. Irod's fourth in the standings. Jose is fifth with 57 and 56. But, as I said earlier, it's Luis Saez, Tyler Gaffleon, Paco Lopez, Irod Ortiz, Jose Ortiz, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But Luis Saez, I've been watching the meet, and when I pulled up the stats yesterday, I was kind of shocked. And it, you knew those guys, that you know, the kind of usual suspects, as it were, you knew they were going well. But Luis Saez at this current meet, 107 victories, and Tyler Gaffleon is second with 75. He's 30 ahead. And as I say, I knew Luis Saez was having a pretty good meet, but until I really pulled up the stats, I didn't realize how good of a meet down there. So Saez on his way to a, you would think, the title at the championship meet. On the trainer's side of things, Safi Joseph has a kind of a comfortable lead over Todd Pletcher. Safi Joseph has 50 wins. Todd Pletcher has 39. Antonio Sano, 26. And Mark Cassie and Jose D'Angelo both sitting with 25. So, again, there's a pretty big gap on the trainer side of things down at Gulfstream between number one and number two as well on the jockey and the trainer side with Safi Joseph. 50 and Todd Pletcher 39. So we'll see. I mean, there's still time to go, but they both seem, given the amount of time to go, they both seem kind of comfortable. Talked to our friend Mike McAdam last week, one of the voters in the NTRA poll, and at that point we talked on Sunday and we're kind of looking back at Tampa Bay Derby as far as the three-year-old poll, and we talked a little bit about the general poll as well. But every week NTRA comes out with a general thoroughbred poll and a three-year-old poll, and that comes out subsequent to our conversation last Sunday. So I was just curious and pulled it up and took a look again. The three-year-old poll, Epicenter is on top, Forbidden Kingdom second. Moving up from six last week to three this week, Classic Causeway. No surprise there. Off of the win last week. Simplification now sits at number four. He had been number three. Mike Welch tweeted out, was it today or yesterday? Whatever day it was, I think it was today. But he said Simplification looked really, really good in the workout. Messier sits at number five, knocked down from number four, as Classic Causeway did make a little jump. Smile Happy, number six. White Abario, number seven. Secret Oath, the filly, sits at number eight. And she had three first-place votes. So people liking the filly. Morello, nine. Zandon, number 10. Un Ojo is number 11. Early voting is number 12. And I have a little note on early voting. But before we get to that, the overall poll, no surprise, Life Is Good on top. Letruska sits at number two. No change from last week. There was a little juggle up underneath, and I'm always surprised when horses aren't really racing. But Express Train Well, Express Train, I guess, deserved to move up on the performance, but Hot Rod Charlie, number four, moves up from number five. Colonel Liam moved down, a horse that hadn't raced, had been number three. Flightline, number six. Mandaloon, number seven. But the notable one, 17 last week, 8 this week, CC. And if you didn't see that race at Oaklawn last week, pull it up. She was phenomenal in there. Midnight Bourbon, 9, and Country Grammar, number 10 on the overall list. And as I say, sitting 12 on the three-year-old list was early voting. And Dave Grenig yesterday had an article in the Daily Racing Form. You can pull it up online. Talk to Chad Brown a little bit about early voting. Early voting is kind of interesting. Early voting won the Withers, and the Withers came out with a 78 buyer. But subsequently, Unoho gets the victory. Grantham runs well, and they were behind early voting in the Withers. And so I don't know how often it happens, and I don't know whether everybody's aware of it, but it does happen. The buyer figures will get changed. Some days are harder than other to make figures, harder than other to make figures at certain distances. And so subsequently, when subsequent performances warrant it, they'll go back and look. And they did for the Withers. The Withers, originally a 78 buyer, they kicked it up to an 87 last week. So early voting now coming out of a nice little, as compared to the 78, which is a little slim at this point in the year for a three-year-old. The 87 looks a lot better. Early voting, according to Dave Grenig, continues to work well. Worked solid half mile Friday over the Belmont Park training track. Todd Pletcher said, I think I'm happy with the decision to wait because they were thinking about going in the Gotham, but it looks like they're going to head to the Wood. And Chad Brown said, I think I'm happy with the decision to wait and keep him two turns. Gotham one turn. The time between races is really benefiting him. And it looks like, early, but Dave Grenig has some potential probables for the Wood. And it's shaping up. It might be a nice race. Remsen winner, Mo Donegal, perhaps. Undefeated Gotham winner, Morello. Lee Einsiedler's High Oak, who had that unfortunate spill down in Florida. Be fun if he got back and was back in good form. So the Wood's shaping up to be a nice race on the Derby Trail in New York. And again, early voting now coming in with that upgraded Withers buyer figure. As I noted, there is a mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six out in Southern California, Santa Anita. If you go to the website, they have free PPs available, so you can pull those up and maybe have a little fun taking a shot at the Rainbow, which they are anticipating may reach 4 million. And again, I took a look at the sequence, not strictly handicapping or not putting a ticket together, but I just thought maybe could toss out some thoughts and maybe get people a little bit interested in going and pulling up those free PPs and doing a little handicapping yourself. The sequence will kick off in the fourth race at Santa Anita, and that's 2:35 their time, so 5:35 our time. That'll be the kickoff leg to that mandatory pay Rainbow out at Santa Anita. And in the fourth race, and I also pulled up Jay Pribman as a column. You can find that at the Racing Forum as well, where he kind of went over the sequence a little bit, and just interested to see where he and I kind of agreed or disagreed. I thought Rosie Forecast looked pretty good off the second place finish in the career debut February 19th. Jay Privman also thought Rosie Forecast off of that solid second in the debut was very playable. And Kitten's Kid, Flavian Pratt, who came out a couple of weeks ago that he's going to be heading to New York to ride, but in the meantime, he's kind of winding down his Santa Anita stay, it sounds like. He's heading, He's going to be at Keeneland before he comes to New York. May bounce out back out to Southern California for rides. But he's not going to be a regular rider to the end of the Santa Anita meet is the upshot. He's going to make his move a little sooner than that, but he won't wind up in New York until after the Keeneland meet. But Flavian Prada is on Kitten's Kid. Kitten's Kid's the second horse that's mentioned by Jay Privman. And I thought Roubaix, I'm guessing kind of on the name here with the spelling, I thought that one was a little bit interesting, perhaps at 15-1 as a long shot with plenty of early speed. So Roubaix is intriguing. And I'm looking at Privman. Privman didn't mention Roubaix. But another one I thought could be a player at 8-1, Current Mood, who's a first-time starter with some pretty good workouts. And Privman does mention that one as a firster that could be used. So, you know, again, rosy forecast, kind of logical. Kitten's Kid, kind of logical. Current Mood and Roubaix, I'm guessing again at the pronunciation, as a couple of prices that could be intriguing to kick off things in that rainbow this afternoon out at Santa Anita. In the fifth race, I thought Mongolian Wind and Disco Ball were both intriguing. Disco Ball coming off of a couple of wins in the most recent starts, December and February. Mongolian Wind, who at the end of January was a close-up second. To me, those two are both kind of interesting. I'm just looking. Disco Ball gets mentioned by Privman, and he also mentions Phantom Dance, and I'm just looking. I don't know whether Phantom Dance didn't hit my radar off the last race. I wasn't quite sure, but I will toss out there one that I thought could be interesting at a little bit of a price, 8-1, the number 8, Holding the Loot, which again, Privman pretty much mentions Phantom Dance and Disco Ball. I thought Four Left, Disco Ball, Mongolian Wind were kind of logical players, but if you're looking for a little bit of a price, Holding the Loot, I thought, was intriguing with some early speed, perhaps. Sixth race, the third leg of the pick. I have a couple of logicals and a price. One of my logicals, Freedom Last. The other one, Agree to Disagree. Agree to Disagree has Flavian Prat on board. And Morning Line Fate. Yeah, so that one probably kind of logical. Privman mentions Rose's Crystal. I did not use that one. That may be a mistake. Maybe that one's worth taking a look at. Does mention Freedom's Last. Does not mention Agree to Disagree. So we're a little bit in this sixth race. Privman and I are a little bit separated. One I thought was interesting, however, in here, and Privman mentions this one as well, Sky on Ice. 10-1 on the morning line. Says this horse ran well while setting a hot pace last time, but can sit and finish and would be well served by those tactics here. And that's kind of what I was looking at. Those races 2 and 3 back, maybe the tactic today for Sky on Ice. So again, I thought Freedom Last, Agree to Disagree. And if you're looking for a price, Sky on Ice. And that we had some agreement, Privman and I. And again, you can find Privman's complete thoughts over at the Racing Forum. He had a nice article kind of taking a look at the sequence. In the seventh race, there were a couple of short prices and a couple of long prices for me. I thought Dance Samo, Flavian Prat on board, steps out of Stakes Company back in August up at Woodbine. And this is a horse coming in from out of town. Woodbine, Belmont, Churchill, and Tampa in the career. And also, the surface is the question mark here. And I'm just hoping the horse has gotten better now. But if this horse takes a lot of action, that then kind of opens up perhaps some other opportunities because, again, a little unproven on the dirt is Dance Samoa. So the other logical to me was there goes Harvard. This horse, 3 in the money finishes and 3 starts at Santa Anita. Most recently has been at Ellis, but I think is going to be intriguing again on the return to Santa Anita where the horse has run well in the past. Pribman mentions Dance Samoa. I should mention, I said the horse had run in August at Woodbine, ran in the Queen's Plate, wound up 10th, but clearly the connections by going there demonstrated a little bit of confidence. So Pribman mentions Dance Samoa, but also mentions, you know, the lone dirt start wasn't necessarily particularly compelling. So, again, I wouldn't argue against Dance Samoa, but I think there are some opportunities. There goes Harvard. But then if you're looking for some others, Back Ring Luck, and I wanted to say, Pribman mentions Back Ring Luck as well. So there are logicals. The price in this race that's interesting to me, Cover Me Up, 10-1 on the morning line, lightly raced, just broke the maiden last time. But I think you could make a case that, you know, being lightly raced and that win last time, maybe just moving in the right direction. So there's a Cover Me Up, the price potential there to help blow up those tickets. If, you know, I'm not suggesting maybe the price in every race, but if you can toss one or two on your ticket and maybe get one of them in, you'll be in good shape. Pribman in the feature, the Irish O'Brien says maybe you jump in and you take a little pop here with your single with Beckett Taylor. I'm not really going to disagree too much with that. This is a horse that's 6 for 6 lifetime, gets Flavian Pratt on board. And if you wanted to single, again, I wouldn't argue with that. If you wanted to maybe take a shot, because a lot of people will single, so you take a shot, you maybe do add a lot of value to the ticket if you can get past Beckett Taylor. To me, the two that you do that with are Sensible Cat or Eddie's New Dream. Sensible Cat coming off a win at the end of January. Eddie's New Dream comes out of a third behind a couple of Next Out winners going back to January. They probably have to step it up, but, you know, again, if you wanted to take a shot against, they look like two logicals. But this may be a race where you can get the free square with Beckett Taylor. And finally, the sequence wraps up in race number 9 on Saturday evening, our time, actually. This will go off 5:15 locally, their time, so 8:15 our time. I had, once again, three horses that were kind of logical and then one that was maybe a little bit interesting. Pribman, Exaltation, he mentions, Frontier Market. They're both in my mix, and he also tosses out Fly the Sky. There's an 8-1 shot that could be interesting, and he tosses out Move Over also. There's my price, Move Over. So I like Frontier Market. I like Exaltation. I think Keystone Field with Flavian Pratt is another of the logical contenders, and the one I think is interesting, and Pribman mentioned it as an interesting play as well, the number 8, Moon Over. Coming off of a win last time, 2 out of the last 3. Umberto Raspoli on board. Another Southern California jockey headed east. So there are some ideas. You know, some logical players in there. Maybe that single in the feature race. And also tossed out some ideas as far as longer prices, as it were, that you may toss onto your ticket. All right, we'll take a break. As promised earlier, we will be joined after the break by Naomi Tucker, who does the paddock commentary, the pre-race commentary down at Laurel. Nice stakes card down there, 5 nice stakes. So we'll take a look at those with Naomi right after this. Stay tuned.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Naomi Tucker from Laurel. You see her pre-race commentary on racing days down in Maryland. Naomi, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you guys doing?
Very good. And before we get into today, I talked to Pete Fornital beforehand and gave him big congratulations, but I will do it for you as well. You were part of the team with Pete. The Eclipse Award winner in the audio multimedia category, the Magical Moments piece, the online, and I touted, when I talked to Pete a few months ago, I touted people to go look it up. A really nice piece. You were part of that. So I will offer my congratulations to you, and I will ask, because I will have to live vicariously through you. I don't think I'm going to be on that stage, but did you go to the ceremony? Did you go out to Santa Anita and take part in the Eclipse Award ceremony?
We did. No, thank you so much for bringing it up, Seth. It was a wonderful evening. And I was just so fortunate that Pete approached me to interview a couple of people and come up with a few ideas for the piece. And then, of course, to work with Matthew Taylor as well, the whole At the Races team, really shaping it graphic-wise, pulled it all together. And yeah, me and Pete went to the awards ceremony. It was quite the evening. I'd never been to the Eclipse Awards before, so that made it extra special that the first time you go, you actually get handed an award as well. So it was just, it was incredible. And let's hope it's the first of maybe a few. Maybe I get lucky and Pete has more ideas that I can contribute to.
Very good. Yeah, as I said, I'm envious, but well-deserved. Again, it was a really nice piece and people can look that up online. And speaking of Pete Fornital and you and your tie-in with Pete, before we get underway, I'll also let you tout a little bit the podcast you do with the Pete Fornital juggernaut, the In the Money podcast group. Talk a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, so I have Talk Racing to me on the In the Money Network, and they gave me that opportunity to do that quite a while ago. That was actually when I was waiting for my visa to come through to work with the Maryland Jockey Club. So that was great because I was in the Netherlands, and that gave me something to do every week, really speaking to all the connections that I've made out stateside. So that was a wonderful opportunity, and it's kind of gone from there. And one week I might do two shows, and another week I'll take a break. But it's been really, really fun. I got to speak to many industry professionals, and everyone's just been so kind and so gracious with their time and their stories. And that's what makes the show. You know, people wanting to come on, give me their two cents, and be really candid about their life or about current events, whatever we talk about. So no, it's been absolutely wonderful. And of course, the In the Money Media family has grown exponentially since then. So all, credit goes to Peter Thomas Fornital, as well as Jonathan Kinch and Drew Coatney for, creating a network like that.
Yeah, they do a great job. And again, I was kind of looking through and I saw you had an interview with Janet Elliott. And as a Saratoga guy, I'm certainly familiar with Janet Elliott and the work she did over the years with some of the jumpers up at Saratoga. And they can find that much, much more folks search out In the Money and the podcast. All right, let's jump in this afternoon, get some thoughts. Laurel in the winter is so much fun. Every few weeks there is one of these big stakes days, and today is one of those days. And typically we'll get to see, not today necessarily, but we'll get to see a lot of the, you know, workhorses of the industry, horses like Cord Maker, and just a really fun afternoons. And this is one of those. And it kicks off in the fourth race today, the Conniver. I'm going to pull up a replay. We're going to watch Kiss the Girl win and Artful Splatter run second in here. And I am really interested to see. I know bettors these days take those buyers into account in a big way. But I'm intrigued to see if the morning line holds up with Feed to Spree, who is the morning line 7-5 favorite off a 93 buyer in the Barbara Fritchie. I kind of think Kiss the Girl is the one to go through. What are your thoughts on the Conniver?
I think you have to think about the bettors' behavior when it comes to the Jerry Rolfbarn. At present, he's sitting at about 39, nearing 40%. So if you want to talk about momentum and someone you see often in the winner's circle, it's certainly trainer Jerry Rob. So I am going to tend to give Feed the Spree a small edge in here, just because I think that this distance she's shown in that Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie, that it is actually suitable for her. We always kind of thought she was a sprinter and maybe the seven was too far, but the way she navigated traffic in the Fritchie, came back and rolled late, makes me think that actually I like her just a little bit more than perhaps when looking at for a mare like Feed the Spree, who has been campaign going just a touch longer. But look, she is in terrific form, looking for a third stakes win in a row. They're going to be tough to separate, although I do think that Feed the Spree might just have the jump on Kiss the Girls in terms of running style.
All right, let's move on to race number seven, the Not for Love. In here, I'm going to pull up a replay. I'm going to go back a couple of races. We're going to go back to November and take a look at Where She Told Me to Go, get a win in a stakes race down at Laurel. Now, subsequently followed up in the Dave's Friend and ran fifth, but I thought this win was the race I would key on a little bit. Where She Told Me to Go is interesting. Youngest of five comes in very good form. Our friends at West Point Thoroughbred have Jackson Traveler heading to Maryland for Steve Asmussen. What are your thoughts on the Not for Love?
I mean, I think the Not for Love, if you're playing exotic wagers, you could nearly go all. You could nearly go all in that race. It is a tough race to separate. You mentioned Where She Told Me to Go. He has to bounce back. He has to come back to some of the form he's shown in the past, because that last race to Dave Trent, that's not good enough to win here today. I think Big Engine is interesting coming in for Rudy Rodriguez from Belmont, but I'm hoping maybe to get a price on Youngest of Five. He seems to be really, really rolling towards a career best performance. That was actually a career best mark last time out in the Fireblood, and he ran into Wonder Where Craig Is. Grade 3 Bold Ruler winner. Technically speaking, put his nose in front in the Defensive Dash, but got DQ'd. And that horse is right now in Dubai hoping to win a Golden Shaheen. So Youngest of Five, to me, is the interesting kind of moving up horse in there. But look, the Not for Love, that's a really wide open affair.
Yeah, it's a fun race, no question about it. Again, on a fun afternoon. And as I say, these afternoons are also a lot of fun because we see horses that just kind of stand out, and they have fun connections down there in the Mid-Atlantic region and in the Harrison Johnson Memorial, race number 8. Mike Trombetta, that's his wife, right? Marie is his wife, the owner?
I have to double check you on that one.
I'm pretty sure that's his wife. So the interesting connection.
I'm pretty sure as well. Yeah. Now I'm doubting myself.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't positive either. I'm reasonably certain. But the horse to beat is going to be obviously Galerio. And we're going to take a look at the John Campbell, and Galerio gets it done here. In a gallant effort, Chart Margin is a nose, but comes up with a nice triple-digit 102 buyer. And off of that Campbell win back on February 19th, again, another one of those nice big stakes days down at Laurel. Galerio clearly seems to be the one to beat. Well, what are your thoughts on the Johnson Memorial?
Of course, that was such a huge quality figure that you think, is he going to bounce? Now, I asked the question to John Salzman Jr., the trainer, and he said, look, it's always a question mark, of course, but he's been training so forwardly. He's been bucking and squealing, and he's actually a bit of a handful to train sometimes. He's quite a feisty horse from time to time. But he said, look, he's really, really feeling himself in the best possible way, so we're confident that he's going to turn up with another big effort. I'm siding with them. I think Galerio is firmly the horse to beat in that spot, but I do have some interest in Gentleman Joe, who ran a gallop third behind Galerio in that John B. Campbell. I think that the change here is the fact that we're now going to go the one-turn mile. Gentleman Joe has a lot of early pace. It might carry a touch farther when we're going to that second wire. We only got one turn to navigate.
Yeah, I should say we had five coming out of that Campbell coming back on Saturday with Galerio being the winner, but another four were behind them, and they're coming back on Saturday. The Beyond the Wire, again, another fun horse to kind of key on in here, and I'm going to pull up the replay from the wide country. It will be Lunabelle getting it done for Ham Smith in a the third of three straight wins, all stakes races down at Laurel. Lunabelle looks awful tough, even money on the morning line. I think She Is Whiskey, who we're going to see run second here, is also intriguing. But the horse that really adds the intrigue, Carlos Martin elects to ship down with a horse from New York that just broke the maiden last time. Number-wise, probably has to step it up a little bit, but I just thought it was intriguing that they elected to head down to Laurel with Diamond Collector. What are your thoughts in the Beyond the Wire?
She's the one that I'm keeping my eye on, Diamond Collector, because that maiden special weight win at Aqueduct was very strong. That was a small field. I do know that Kendra Carmouche kind of really hustled her up in there to get her going. I asked Carlos Martin if that was going to be the game plan again here today. He said, no, she's pretty good rating as well if needed. But if you look at a time from U.S. pace figures, she is the fastest early. So that might make you think that either she gets the lead and can kind of take a breather and then go again, which would move her up in here. So I find her really interesting. I know Carlos Martin is very excited about her. They paid a pretty penny for her, keen at September, 320 grand. But look, Lunabelle is the filly to beat in here, looking for that fourth stakes victory. The two last stakes were in open company. The added distance is not going to be a problem. You just hope that her late role is going to be as, you know, as stingy as it normally is, because what we see is they go just a touch shorter, that when horses go faster, they come back to those closes a bit sharper. So maybe that's the only knock that you could have. But look, Lunabelle has done everything right so far.
Yeah, she's going to be fun to watch a number of those on the card today. And we wrap up the stakes action with the private terms. And I say that this winter season is a lot of fun at Laurel with these stakes race days every few weeks. And the three-year-old stakes really add to that. And the Miracle Wood was one of those going back to February 19th. We're going to watch the replay. It'll be Local Motive running first, Majestic Frontier running second. But this race is more than those two, because Eagle in Love ships down from New York for Rob Attriss off a nice maiden breaker in the career debut. And Joe for Trombo, Mike Trombetta again, comes in off a really nice three-race win streak that included a stakes race of his own. Boy, this private terms is a fun race. What are your thoughts?
Oh, this is a terrific race. This is one of the races that I'm looking forward to most today. You highlighted Joe. They got big hopes for him. If he can get the win today and continue progressing, we're probably looking at maybe a Tessio horse, maybe even pointing towards the Preakness in due course. But I actually think that there might be a couple of others that are going to be very tough in here. I think Eagle and Love, it's very interesting because he probably surprised everyone a little bit on debut. So yes, another New York invader that we're going to see if he's capable of getting that stakes win. I think Local Motive looks superb in that Miracle Wood, really came back into himself. He's got the speed to get himself a good position and an advantageous low draw as well. So I find those two really interesting. Got to give a nod to Majestic Frontier because he stepped it up to class, like the stakes class company, gamely lost them out for a red hot barn. So many ways to go. I even used Shake 'Em Loose on the outside as well, your Hef Stakes winner, who really came back sort of to his older form in his last race in that one other than optional claimer.
Yeah, it's a fun way to end the day. And as I say, I love these three-year-old stakes in the winter that they run down at Laurel. They typically produce some runners that are worth paying attention to as the year progresses. Naomi, appreciate the thoughts and the visit. We wish you and everybody down at Laurel. Oh, I should get an update. What's your weather look like today?
Oh, what a beautiful day it seemingly is. I think we just missed out on the rain. So the sun is shining and the track is fast. We're all set to go.
Excellent. Thumbs up. And again, appreciate the visit and the thoughts, and we will talk again.
Thank you so much, Seth.
Appreciate it. Naomi Tucker, again, really nice stakes day down at Laurel today. As I say, during the winter season, it's like every 3-4 weeks, one of these big days comes up. And again, no cord maker today, but There are some other very nice Mid-Atlantic-based horses worth watching this afternoon that either have had nice careers already or are clearly on their way to putting together really nice careers. So Laurel, nice stakes day. A little bit earlier we talked with Acacia Courtney Clement about the three stakes down at Gulfstream. That's a nice stakes day as well. And once again, have to keep reminding you, out in Southern California, Santa Anita today, the mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six. And again, if you go to the website, I was at the website a couple times yesterday, and it came up in two different fashions. The first time I went on, a pop-up came up with the free PPs. And the second time I went on, there was a little box. I want to say you scroll down and on the left, and it mentions the mandatory pay in the Rainbow. It's a little graphic, and you click on that, and a page opens up, and you can find the free PPs there. So if you like the free PPs for the Rainbow, and I think it's the whole card. I think you get the whole card free. Go to the Santa Anita website today. But Rainbow Six, mandatory pay, Santa Anita today. And once again, it'll kick off in the fourth race, which will be 5:35 our time. So you have plenty of time to handicap. If you haven't looked yet, you still have hours to go to work it out and come up with a thought. And again, it's one of those at the 20-cent increment. You can put together a decent little ticket for a modest amount of money and have a shot with what they're thinking may be a $4 million pool today. So again, Santa Anita, mandatory pay in the Rainbow on Saturday afternoon. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Don't forget, Mega March Madness here at the Clubhouse Racebook today. We would love to have you swing down and put your name on one of the squares. And if you match scores, you get to spin the prize wheel for vouchers and whatnot. Always a lot of fun. Hoops and horse racing here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB Gulfstream Park. We appreciate their support during the championship meet. All right, with the daylight savings, our start time for OTB Live is a little bit later. So again, we've been kicking up until about last week, lunchtime. It's now we're like maybe just as you end lunch, 12:30, something like that will kick in. So an hour and a half or so. We will be back with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll take a look at some Aqueduct and some Oaklawn, and we'll pull in one of the Florida tracks as well and have a little fun, hopefully, on a Saturday afternoon here in the middle of March. So hopefully you stay tuned for that as well. Again, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Once again, we will be back shortly, or an hour and a half or so, with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.